We want to pray and go ahead and get started. Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord God. We give you glory this night, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the blood that he shed. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide, one who brings us to all truths. Holy Spirit, we ask you to use us as an instrument to speak to your people. Open your word up to us that we can hear, that we can see, that we can understand, and that we can have faith to act on what we hear. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight we're going to start in chapter 2 of our Culture of Honor book. I need to give you a few notes before we get into that part of it. We're talking about the culture of honor, and we want to let you know that this culture is a supernatural culture. I want you to stay focused on that aspect of it. It's supernatural. The Bible itself is a supernatural book, and so unless we are taught that it is supernatural, we'll never know. The Word of God in Romans 10:17 says, so then faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we hear enough about this supernatural culture, and then we can have faith to act in it. We start off, first of all, we want to let you know that the heart of this culture is the conviction that Jesus himself modeled this Christian life for us. He's the one who modeled it for us. We have to have a conviction that what he did, then we should be also able to do. Because he told us in John that he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. And he gave us a reason why we can do the same work that he did. You can turn to John chapter 6, verse 38. We're going to look at a few scriptures, and then we're going to give you some pointers and some principles here. In John chapter 6, looking at verse 38, Jesus said, he's speaking here, is in red in my Bible. If you have your Bible with you, it should be in red in your Bible. In 6:38, he says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So the first thing we have to understand that when we are operating in this culture, we are not here to do our will, but we are here to do the Father's will. One of the things that Jesus told us that he came down, he also came to destroy the works of the devil. So that's part of our goal, why we are, as Christians, as believers, we are to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus explained that all the supernatural things that happened through him flow directly from his intimately connection with his Father. He said that everything that he did, he didn't do it on himself, of himself, but he had an intimate connection with the Father. And it was through him that all the works that he did through the Father. Turn to John chapter 14. John 14:10. It says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He doeth the works. The Father that's in him, he himself doeth the works. Verse 11 says, believe me not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. So he's saying that the works that I do here, I'm not doing it because of myself or in myself. I'm doing it because the Father is in me and he is doing the work. He said, I came to do the will of my Father, and so I'm not going to try to do anything of myself. We as believers, we in the body of Christ, God anoint us with a certain ability, and then we go out and we think we can use that ability for ourselves. But it's, Jesus understood that he didn't do none of the work himself. He didn't take any credit for it. He didn't take any God's glory. He gave all the glory to God. God is the one who did the work, and it was through him that the works was done. And that same connection that Jesus had with the Father. He's saying the same connection was what he came to give us through his death and resurrection. It was the same connection, he said, through his death and resurrection that he came to give to us. As we go over in Ephesians, as God began to reestablish his government in the body of Christ, that's the one thing that we have to keep focus on, that right now God is reestablishing his government. We showed you the scripture over in Isaiah where Jesus said, the scripture prophesied that the government was going to be up on his shoulder, and of the end there should be peace. There should be peace to no end. And so the government is up on his shoulder. We showed you over in Ephesians 2, 19, where it tells us how we are connected with this government, how we are connected. It says we are no more strangers, but we are fellow citizens with the household of God. And it's built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You'll hear that throughout this lesson because I want you to understand that's where it all boils from. We're talking about God's government. And in this culture we're talking about, we have to understand that Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. Everything is based up on, it's built up on him, and the apostles themselves begin to build up on this foundation. And so when we have this conviction that Jesus is the model this Christian life for us, then we can build up on it. We can watch what the apostles say. We can understand what the apostles are telling us, and we can see how we can do the same thing that he did while he was here on earth. Amen. Jesus said, I came to do the will of my Father. We think he finished that work. I've made statements. I tell people, as I say, everything that God is going to do for us, he's already done. He did it through the cross. He finished that work. And so I said, okay, I need to know what happened. How did I know that? So turn to John chapter 17, and then we're going to go on with some more principles. John chapter 17, looking at verse 4. It says, I have glorified, this is Jesus speaking again, and this is his prayer, earthly prayer. He was praying to his Father right before he got ready to go back and sit on the right hand of God. And so here in John chapter 17, looking at verse 4, it says, I have glorified thee on the earth. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. So it is a finished work. When Jesus came down and he died on the cross, everything that God was going to provide for us as believers, he's already done it through Jesus Christ. And that's his prayer. He was telling the Father. So sustaining a supernatural lifestyle where signs and wonders follow us is therefore totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. So we have to live out our identity. We have to expect to see signs and wonders, because that's what, like I say, everywhere Jesus went, miracles took place. Someone was healed. Someone was delivered for something. Enemies, devils was cast out of individuals. So everywhere that he went, he was destroying the work of the enemy. So he was destroying Satan's kingdom. God was reestablishing his kingdom in the earth realm. It is a supernatural kingdom. We as believers have to understand that Jesus modeled it for us, and then we're to come along and do the works that he did while he was here on the earth. Amen. Like I said, we have to be able to live out totally dependent on living out our true identities as sons and daughters of God. In John 1 and China chapter 1, I always give you scriptures. If I give you a statement, I want you to see it in scriptures. Then you can go back and you can read the scriptures for yourself, and you can see it. And then what you do as you're reading and studying scriptures, I can point you to the scriptures, but that you want to ask the Holy Spirit to open that scripture up to you. You want to ask him to reveal that scripture to you. You want him to show you what he's saying to you about those scriptures. Here in John chapter 1, looking at verse 12, it says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we believe him. We made our confession. We come into the kingdom of God. We are Christians. We say we are Christians. So he modeled a Christian life for us. And so since we say we are Christians, then what he did, we should be doing what he did while he was on the earth. Amen. And so it goes on to say, we are empowering the saints to know God and to walk in the fullness of who he says they are. And so as this culture of honor is being developed, explained to you, you're learning, you're being empowered to know God and to walk in the fullness of who he said. This apostolic, this prophetic, this fivefold ministry graces, this paradigm shift that we are going into, we want the body of Christ to understand that this is a total shift. Everything that you knew about before, we want you to forget about it. We want you to, you know, you was born again, but we want you to take some, learn some new information. We're putting in new information. When Jesus said, he said, you don't put new wine in old wine skins. And what he was saying, if you put new wine in old wine skins, what's going to happen? The old skin, the new wine is going to cause the old skin to expand, and it's going to cause a tear in it. And then the new wine, you won't be able to hold. So I want you to forget about what you knew but before and begin to learn and establish this new kingdom, that God's kingdom government that he's establishing. Because we have not, as a body of Christ, have not seen the supernatural events, the signs and wonders that Jesus patterned when he was here on the earth. But as we begin to learn and study and empower ourselves, then we're going to be able to do what Jesus did when he was on the earth. Jesus said in Peter, he said, we are partakers of God's divine nature because of knowledge, because of what we know about God. So as we learn about the things of God and how he operates, and we set up this principle, this government, the way he set it up, then himself, God himself, is going to begin to operate through individuals. And we're going to begin to see the supernatural. We're going to begin to see people going to walk in. And like I say, as Peter and John and Paul, they walk by people and their shadows. Even the shadows heal people. And so we're going to be the same way as we begin to learn and we establish this government that God has set up on earth. As these core values are taught and demonstrated, a group of people will grow up with faith and courage to bring heaven to earth. So that's our thinking also, is that as we learn, we're going to change our paradigm. When praying before, what we've been doing, we've been going praying from heaven to earth. But what we want to do is begin to pray from heaven to earth. We've been praying from earth to heaven, but we want to begin to pray from heaven to earth. We want always, that's why Jesus, when he told his disciples, he began to say, he said, this is how you're going to pray. He said, you're going to pray our Father, which is in heaven. So you're going to go there first. He said, hallowed be thy name. Holy is thy name. He said, thy kingdom come. And he said, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God said, I want my will to be done in earth. I'm setting up my kingdom on earth. But I want the same thing that's done in heaven, I want it to be done on the earth. Do we see what's on the earth, what's being in heaven? If we go back and we think about, you know, like I said, we've all been in church for some time, and we've been around Christians for some time. But the things that goes on in heaven, yeah, do we see it here on earth? And so what God is saying, I want a group of people. Everybody's not going to get it. I always see it through our scripture. God says there is a remnant of people who always get this thing and begin to do what God tell them to do. He was showing me about Gideon. When God gave him that army of about 32,000, they dropped down to a couple hundred. And when they dropped down, he said, only a couple. When he took the children of Israel, that was many people on the earth, but he took a group. He took a small group, and he showed him through that group of people, the Israelites, who he was. He showed them his power. And so here at Word of Life Christian Center, Ever Increasing Training Center, LTMA, Leroy Thompson Ministry Association, God said, I'm training a group of people, a remnant of people who are going to operate. There are others, but we know we are part of that which God has done here on the earth right now. And so if we learn it, we take our allow the Holy Spirit to reveal what he's doing to us, and then we're going to be part of that remnant that God is going to use in the earth realm to get his will done in the earth realm. God, through our scripture, he said, my glory is going to fill the earth. But he don't need everybody to do it. He just need a few people to do it. So we are part of that group that he's going to do it through. Amen? Amen. He said, we are developing and understanding the culture of supernatural empowerment. As we get into chapter 2 of the book, and I always like to read at least one statement or one paragraph in the book so we can say we went to the book and we got, I do basic outlines, but I can let you see in the book itself. Turn to your book on page 47. And probably about down in the middle part of the page. And it starts without. It says, without a complete, mature expression of these fivefold ministry graces that equip the saints, the people of God cannot be adequately prepared to contain what God is pouring out and release it to the world around them. And so what we're getting ready to do, I'm getting ready to get into God's governments, the fivefold ministry gifts. And we're getting ready to get into the apostles and the prophets and the teachers and the evangelists and the pastors. And so we're going to break them down, break each individual down. We're going to show you some of the special characteristics of each of the fivefold gifts. Turn to Ephesians again, chapter 4. Beginning at verse 4. And again, like I said, we're talking about a supernatural culture here. In verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Verse 7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Verse 9 says, now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And verse 11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then he gave us a reason for giving these gifts. These fivefold ministry, we call them gifts. We call them graces. And we call them fivefold ministry. We call them the fivefold ministry. And throughout, that's in the body of Christ. And so these are fivefold ministry gifts that Jesus himself gave unto men. And he gave it to us for a particular reason. He says for the perfecting of the saints, that means for the maturing of the saints. He wants the saints to be mature. He says for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the three elements that I want you to see. He said for the perfecting of the saints, that's the first part. That means he wants the saints to be mature. We can be saints and not mature. But we won't be able to operate in the things that God has provided for us. So what I see now is basically the body of Christ is immature. And even though they are born-again believers, have all this power in them, but they are not using the ability that God has provided for us. So these fivefold ministry gifts, the purpose of them is to mature the saints and for the work of the ministry. So we're to train you. The fivefold ministry graces are to train you how to work in the ministry. I always go back and I tell individuals, take a child when they first come into this world and they begin to grow and they begin to develop. And they they go to school. They first have to start off in kindergarten and pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, elementary, secondary, then on to college. What we do in the body of Christ, we come into the body, we get born again, and we get saved, and we say we are Christians, but we don't know how to operate in the kingdom. And nobody, because why? We have not been trained. We have to be trained to operate in it. Just like you do in the world system, you have to be trained to operate in the kingdom of God system. We're talking about two totally different systems here. If it was not, then God, the Apostle Paul would not have told us. What he told us in Romans 12, verse 2, he said, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So when we are trained, we won't conform to this world. We find out what the will of God is. And when we find out what the will of God, God's perfect will, and how we do that, by taking the word of God and we begin to meditate in it, we begin to see what God has said in his word. And as we see what he says in his word, then we can begin to do it. But like I say, as believers, we have to be able to do that. In fact, let that be your meditation scripture for this class this week, Romans 12, 2. And it says again, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And our apostle has been teaching us about the mind. He's been telling us traps that the mind sets for us. "But by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God." What Jesus always wanted to do, he wanted to find out what is the will of God. He didn't want to do his will. He wanted to find out what God's will is. And so we as individuals, we in the kingdom of God, we want to find out what God's will, what it is for my life, what you want me to do. And when we come out, when life situations come up against us, first thing we want to find out, I like that term, life situation, because our apostle been ministering to us and he's been telling us, he said, when things come up against us, that's not our life. Those are only life situations. And we can take our life, if we are mature in the things of God, and we can change any life situation that come up against us. Anything that come against us, we can change that situation with our life. That's the life that's on the inside of us. Amen? And so let's talk about this culture of honor again. The culture of honor is set up to follow God's government, first of all. It's set up to follow God's government. You can put a scripture there. You can go back and look at Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, how God set the government up. You can also put Ephesians 2, 19, 20, through 21. And I want to read that one again. I always go back and I just like to go over and read scripture and let you see what the Spirit of God is saying. Every time you read it, you should be able to get something out of it. The Spirit of God should open up. Holy Spirit should shed light on it. And more you read it, the more he reveals to you from that particular passage of scripture. Over in Ephesians 2, let's look at it again, because this is one of our basic core scriptures. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, and I'm going to read through 22. It says, "Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God." So we are citizens of another kingdom. We are no longer citizens of the world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. That's where Jesus came. He told as he was going and he was teaching, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." That means right here on earth. He wanted God's kingdom to be established here in the earth realm. And like I say, it's a supernatural kingdom. God's kingdom is a supernatural kingdom where signs and wonders take place. So he says, again, he said, "And are built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So everything with Jesus set the cornerstone, then everything else was built up from that. So, and again, as I made the statement earlier, Jesus modeled the Christian life for us who call ourselves Christians. is that in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation, for a living place, for a tabernacle of God in the Spirit. So you're being built up for a tabernacle, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God wants to dwell in you. He wants to live in you. And so the more you learn about it, more of God can come in and habitate in you. Amen. Culture is that which distinguishes life in one group from life in another group. And when I think about this group, this culture that we're talking about, one of the things I want you to think about is authority, and I want you to think about power. See, God has provided power for us who are in the kingdom of God. He's given us authority over the enemy. Luke 10:17. Let's turn over there. 10:19. Luke 10:19. And so if we got it, then we all, if he said, I give it to you, then we ought to begin to use it. We ought to do like Jesus did. When we come up on any attacks of the enemy, then we should be able to eliminate it. He said, behold, in Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread up on serpents and scorpions. And he said, over all the power of the enemy. So any power that the enemy has, God has provided us with power over that. So we have power over in this kingdom, in this government. If we're doing it right, if we're doing it the way God set it up, then we have power over any power that the enemy has over us. Watch what it says. He said, behold, I give you unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. So God said, when we begin to think about this culture, this supernatural culture that God has put us into and brought us into, he said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So anything that the enemy can bring against you, you have power over that. And we can go against that power. Our power is higher than his power. Amen. So the church culture, church has a culture, and the world has a culture. And the world operates on the elements of the world. The church culture should operate under this authority that God has provided for us in this culture that God has brought us into. But if we don't know how to operate in it, then we don't know how what to do about it. But as you're being trained in operating in this culture, then those signs and wonders is going to begin to happen. I go back. One of the first scriptures that the Spirit of God opened up to me, and he began to show me things. I used to go out to various meetings, and so I would see people. I would see them get excited about the things of God, and I began to ask God. I said, God, I said, what it is? I said, I know I'm saved. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I speak in other tongues, and I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I said, but when these people hear the word of God and God explains to them, they get so excited about the things of God. I said, I don't get that excited about the things of God. Why is that? And so as I begin continue to press, he opened up a scripture to me, and it was over in Mark chapter 4, and it was in that parable when he began to talk about the seed, and he went on and he told me some things, and then he said, it's for us who are in the kingdom of God to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But then he went to Mark 4:26. And he says, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. He said, and sleeps night and day. He said, that seed should spring up and grow, but you know it not how. He said, but first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. What he's saying is, when a seed first goes into the ground, you don't know what happens to that seed, but there's some processes that take place with that seed. Same thing with the word of God. The seed, the word of God goes into your spirit, which is the ground, and it begins to develop. It begins, the outer husk have to come off, the outer shell have to come off, and then all the inside of that seed, those DNAs and RNAs and all that chemical stuff that they talk about in chemistry have to come out. And then, you know, if it's an acorn, then that acorn gonna grow into a large oak tree. But you don't see an oak tree immediately. You see, you know, little sprouts come up, and then that seed comes, begin to grow up and grow up. And then eventually it goes up to a big oak tree from that little acorn. Same thing with the word of God. He said it begins to develop. It has to open up. It's a process that takes place when you begin to hear the word of God on any particular situation. Even if you need healing and for your body, God says, he says, in Joshua 1 and 8, he said, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, or out of your eyes. He said, but you should meditate in it day and night. There's a reason for that. He said, then you make your way prosperous, and then you have good success. That means if I'm looking for healing for my body, and I'm taking a scripture like 1 Peter 2:24, where he said he was wounded for my transgression, he was bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed, and I'm going to meditate that, and I'm going to do it over and over. I'm in the kingdom now, and God said, this is what's going to happen. It may not happen overnight. He said, but eventually what's going to happen, you're going to begin to see the blade, and then the ear, and you're going to see the full corn. He's talking about a corn here. That's what Jesus was talking about, that parable. He said, but you're going to begin to see the results of that which you're seeking God for. Individuals, anybody of Christ, they say, well, the word don't work for me. Why the word don't work for me? They don't work the word. We have to be able to go into the word, find out what God has said. He set these principles for us. He gave us his manual, how we operate in the kingdom. And like I say, right now we are developing this culture of honor and a supernatural kingdom, so we have to be able to taught how to operate in it. He talk about faith. He talk about righteousness. And all these things are part of the kingdom of God. Ministers say, well, you have to be righteous. But we don't have to be righteous. Jesus was righteous enough for us that we can walk around and operate in his righteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, he said, he who knew no sin, he said, God made him to be sin for me that I may be made the righteousness of God in him. So what am I saying? I'm saying that I don't have to be righteous. Jesus was righteous enough for me. God made him to be righteous. So every sin that I committed, Jesus took it on himself. He took off his coat of sin. He took off my coat of sin, and he put on me his coat of righteousness. So what am I doing? I'm operating in this culture that God has set up for us and established for us. And so as we learn these things and begin to walk in them, then we begin to see the supernatural take effect in our lives. Amen? He said, we must be able to contain what God is pouring out and be able to release it to the world around us. We as believers, we got to be able to contain what God is pouring out and release it to the world around us. So we have to be able to walk into an environment where the enemy is, like Jesus did, and change that environment. We have to know that we can change that environment. If we begin to know that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy, then we can walk into that situation and change this situation. I mean, God wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't have told us that the word Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works. Then if we couldn't do it, then that would make God a liar. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he will make it good. So if God gonna make it good, then we should be able to believe him. We are believers. When we came into the kingdom, God said, you are a believer. He said, you know, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that made us believers. We accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord, and we came into the kingdom. And so this supernatural kingdom that we have to begin to learn and begin to operate in and begin to do. We just can't be hearers. And the body of Christ has been hearing for so long. They hear. They get up, come in a service on a Sunday morning. We hear a good sermon. We go out and we say, oh, well, that preacher preached so good. He preached so well this morning. We had, but you know, and then Monday morning come in, the enemy comes in, and what did he do? He just tears us down. He destroys the body of Christ. And so James said, we can't be just hearers. He said, but we got to be doers. We got to do this thing. And that's what God wants this remnant of people to do. As we learn about this kingdom, this culture of honor, this God's government, he wants us to begin to do it and not just be hearers of what we're doing. Amen. We must maintain this culture that is appropriate for the mission with the expression of each of these fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. I went through them and I told you that when he ascended, when Jesus ascended, when he descended first into the lower parts of the earth, then he ascended and he went to sit on the right hand of God the Father. He sat up there. He said, now from eternity to eternity, the work is finished. I did it. And then I gave these gifts to men. So now they can go out and they can perfect the saints. And they can, for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Jesus said, I can't come back and do it anymore. He said, but, you know, but if you connect right, if you connect with my government, the government that I've set it up on the earth rim, through the apostles, through the prophets, through the pastors, through the evangelists and the teachers, then you can begin to do the works that I did here on earth. That's that called that connection. So all these gifts, these fivefold ministry gifts, they're connected. And like I said, the body of Christ has basically taken one aspect of the gifts. And they take, for instance, the pastor. Most of us are believers. We've been in church for a while. And you find out that in most churches, the pastor is everything. He's the apostle. He's the prophet. He's a pastor. He's a teacher. He's an evangelist. He's everything in the church. But God said, and just like the body, the natural body. And when Apostle Paul began to explain to us these gifts, he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brother. 1 Corinthians 12:1, he said, I wouldn't have you ignorant of these gifts. And then he went on, he explained about the body. He talked about the natural body. He made a comparison here about the natural body. And he said, you know, every part of the body, you know, if the eye was the hearing, he said, where would the seeing be? And so he went on and he talked about every aspect. So every part of the body should be different. They have different functions. And same thing in the body of Christ, that you are the body of Christ. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can look at one first, and then I go, and, you know, for your own homework's sake, you can read through Ephesians chapter 12 and go on to the end. But what I want you to see is 12:27, beginning at verse 20, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. It said, you're the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. That's who we are. But you're not just the whole body. You're members in particular. So you a certain part of the body. Every person in the body of Christ has certain functions to function in the body of Christ. Just like your ear has a function, your eye has a function, your nose has a function, your mouth has a function, your skin, which feels, has a function. Same thing in the body of Christ. Jesus always took something that you could see in the natural and brought it so you could see it equated to something in the realm of the spirit. And so he equated the body of Christ to the natural body, first of all. And then he goes on and he explains some things to us. Here in verse 27, he said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. In verse 28, he said, and God has set some in the church. See, a man didn't set this up. God set this up. He said, and some in the church. He said, first apostles. Then he said, secondarily prophets. Thirdly, teachers. And then he said, hey, you know, once you get the government right, once you begin to establish the government, then you can begin to see these miracles and you can begin seeing to see these gifts of healings. And then he goes on to say, he say helps. We have here at Word of Life Christian Center, we have a helps ministry. And what the helps ministry do? It helps the apostle carry out the vision that God has provided and given to him. He was a visionary. God gave him the vision, and then he gets there because he couldn't do the whole vision by himself. He could not come in and minister on Sundays and sit on the camera and take pictures and go at the doors and greet individuals when people come in to be saved and go to the altar room and bring them into the kingdom of God. He couldn't do all those things. So he got God say, I did this. God said, I set this up. And so what happens is we, in the body of Christ, we begin to, we get a few scriptures on our belt. We know, five or six scriptures. And then we think God has called us to go open up a church somewhere. And so rather than we're being sent by an apostle or a prophet, we went on our own. So when we went on our own, God said, you went. So whatever consequences that you receive, that's the consequences that you're going to get, because now you have become your own God. So you are responsible for what happens in that situation. So I look at everybody and our minds went to, it just went out there. And when they say, oh, that's why they got all those little churches out there that's not doing anything, not making any progress, because I'm just pointing out some factors here. They went out and God said, everybody who goes out have to be sent. Jesus himself was sent. The Holy Spirit was sent. And so if they were sent, which is in charge of the kingdom, then don't we as individuals have to be sent by someone. And most time what will happen is if we are sitting under an apostolic government, if the government is right, then what's going to happen, that apostle is going to look out, whether you have a gift of a pastor, whether you have a gift of an evangelist, whether you have a gift of a teacher, he's going to look out and see among you what God has put in you. And he's going to help you develop that gift that God has put in you. And then he's going to send, when it's time for you to go out, he's going to send you out to do what you need to do. And see, God said, it's not about what I want or what we want. It's about God's will. God said, Jesus said, I come to do the Father's will. And most time we want to do our own will. And when we want to do our own will, God said, go right ahead, do what you want to do. But the consequences is what you're going to, whatever you develop is what you're going to get. So, and it's about doing God's will here. He goes on to say, he said, it helps governments, diversity of tongue. Then he said, verse 29, he said, all apostles? He said, no. He said, all prophets? No. All teachers? No. All pastors? No. God said, no. He said, I set this thing up. I set this government up. And if my people would follow the government that I set up and established, then you're operating in the kingdom the way I set it up. We find out God is specific in what he does. When he told David how to build his tabernacle, when he told him how to build that building, he gave him specific instructions. He told him how to measure out every width and the length. He told him when he built, put the curtains up, he told him where he wanted to put the little studs on the curtain rods. And every aspect of that building, God told him how he wanted to do it. So same thing in this kingdom. When God set up a kingdom, when he set up a system of government, that's how he wanted to operate. The only way we're going to be able to see what God set up is we operated the way he set it up. So we have to be doing his will. That's why it's important that we begin to meditate that scripture. I'm not conformed to this world, but I'm being transformed by the renewal of my mind. So when the world come in and they try to put sickness or disease, when I go to the world physicians and he tell me I got a condition that's incurable, then I say, I'm not conformed to this world, but I've been transformed. My mind has been renewed. And so I find the truth on this thing. I find out what God has said about it. And when I find out what God says, then I begin to operate in that which God has said. That's how the culture works. That's how the kingdom of God operates. And we begin to do that. And then what God has promised us in the book, we see a scripture like in Corinthians where it says, every promise of God is yea and amen to him that believeth. So if I'm a believer and everything that God has promised me in this book, then I should be able to go in and get it out and apply it to my life. It's about applying, application, about applying this to my life and the life of individuals that you come in contact with. That's the world around you. You should be able to change that life like Jesus did. When Jesus walked up on sickness and disease, he dealt with it. When he walked up on oppression of the enemy, he dealt with it. And so we, in the body of Christ, as we begin to develop ourselves and learn and grow in this thing of God, then we're going to be able to do like Jesus did when he was on earth. So here Paul clearly lays out an order of priority in this message. He talked about it. He said, God said, when he said first apostles, that's what he was saying. So when Jesus left here and he left the apostles in charge. So he said Jesus was a chief cornerstone, and then the apostles began to build up on what Jesus had established here on the earth rim. And that's why when they the same thing that he did, like, you know, he told them in Luke 24 and 49, Jesus said when he began to teach and when he began to minister, he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost himself. And then he found out, you know, when he came out of the water, he said the Spirit of God lit up on him like a dove, and the heavens opened up. So he was operating under open heaven. He said the heavens opened up, and the Father gave him a compliment. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So he knew he had to need the Spirit of God to operate in this supernatural. So the Holy Spirit had to be on him. So then he told us, when he got ready to leave, he told his apostles, he said, "I command you." I mean, he didn't just ask, he said, "I command you, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I must send unto you." And so what he did, they went all of his disciples and that whole group that was with him, they went to this place called the upper room, and they went in and they was waiting. And it says on the day when the day of Pentecost was fully come, he said the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind, and they set up on each of them like tongues of fire. And it said they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit had given them an utterance. So they needed the Holy Spirit. He said, once that power comes, he said, it's going to give you an ability. It's going to give you a power to be a witness unto Jesus. You're going to witness for the kingdom, not just by speaking out what you say, but a witness means that I can see something. When a witness go into a courtroom, the witness say, "I saw him do that." And so with the same thing in the kingdom of God, a witness said, "I saw when that individual came in that wheelchair, I saw them get up out of that wheelchair and walk out of the sanctuary." And so that's a witness. That's what Jesus was saying. He said, "I want you to be witness. You're going to receive power to be a witness for the kingdom." So the Holy Spirit had to be sent. He was sent by when Jesus sat down, he tagged the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down. And so now every individual that's in the kingdom of God, it should be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the ever, because Jesus was our pattern. We have a conviction that he patterned the Christian life for us. He had to be filled. The disciples and apostles had to be filled. And so if we're going to do the works of the kingdom, then we have to be filled also. And so that's part of our Christian heritage, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And this order is related to the realms of the supernatural that corresponds to each particular office. And what I want, the last statement I'm going to make in this class is the anointings on the apostle and the prophets creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. They want to see what's going on in heaven, and they want to bring that to earth. So that's why the government was set up. God said, set up on the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the perspective begins, apostle, prophets, and then it goes right on down that flow. There's a flow that goes on. And so if the flow is not right, if you got a line, that line is plugged up, then you're not going to have a good flow. So then if you want water, if it's blocked up, you're not going to get the water because the line has been blocked
up. Amen. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Father. Father God, we thank you that you open our eyes that we can see. You're opening our ears that we can hear. You're opening our heart that we can understand what you're saying to us. Father, we thank you that you're giving us the faith to act on what you're saying. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.